Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Every chance you get to worship, take it. Take it. Take every opportunity. Because the truth is that coming to church is far more than just going through the motions. You know, you can come here on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, prayer meeting, whatever it is, U group, cell group, home group, Freedom Forever, whatever it is you're involved in, and you can go through the motions. And really what's happening is very little is happening on the inside of you. So it's one thing to be here in the flesh, but you also need to be here in spirit. You need to be here. You need to partake. You need to take a hold of every opportunity that God gives you to praise Him, to worship Him, to take what He's offering you, because that's awesome. Every little bit of it. Can you say amen? This morning, I want to show you through the Feast of Tabernacles and a very powerful story of something that takes place through one of the ceremonies that they practice. Jesus does something amazing. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But, you know, I want to share with you briefly, I remember when, you know, I moved to the United States. I had left the ministry for a little while. You know, we'd been in ministry, Naomi and I, and many of you have heard the story, so I'm going to try and give you the compressed version. And we came to the U.S. to start a business. You know, I moved here, never jumped any fences or anything, bought a business, started a business, did all of that. And, you know, and then what happened was you know, we were still serving God, looked for a church, struggled, just wasn't going well, you know. And my prayer time specifically started to get really, for lack of a better word, dry. It was like, you know, I would say all the same things I'd said before, done all the same things I'd done before, but there was just like nothing. It was just dry. And 1 year became 2 years, and 2 year became 3 years, and 6 years went by. And we'd settled here, and things were going great business-wise, and we were still morally Christians. But God was far from us, or we were far from God. He was with us, but we were far from Him, you know. And I remember being in that dry place and going on an airplane flight and having an encounter with the Lord when I really surrendered my heart to Him. And I think that He was, you know, getting me to that place to realize that the most important thing and the only thing that would cause me to be fulfilled would be to serve Him fully. And so I had this major encounter on an airplane, landed in Orlando Airport, went to Naomi, said to her, everything's changed. She said, we'll see. Now, to be totally honest, the only thing that changed is I started doing what I did in the beginning when I'd just gotten saved. I started waking up early in the morning. And please, this is not what I'm telling everybody to do. I'm telling you what happened to me. And I would go to church. No, I didn't go to church. I went to my prayer room in the mornings. I'd wake up and just walk into my prayer room. And it would be like when I walked in, it was like God was waiting for me. And I would just walk in and begin to worship. That's what I do when I pray. I worship. And that's how I get into His presence. So I'd begin to worship, and the presence of God would fill my room. And I remember thinking to myself, man, I have missed You, God. I have missed this presence. And that dryness that was in me just began to kind of like go away. It just disappeared, and I began to get filled again. I remember learning more about the Holy Spirit and how wonderful He is as a person. Not just a force or a power, but He is referred to by Jesus as Him. Him has a personality. Him has a nature and a character. He is a person, the person of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said, I will send to you. I will send you another helper, someone just like me, that will become your best friend, that will become... So I would go in the room in the mornings, and I would be so excited to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And I would talk to Him, and I would do some real interesting stuff. Like I would ask Him, what's your favorite song that I listen to? Because, you know, that's what I have. And there was a Spanish song. Spanish. I didn't even understand the words. But it was from this church in Colombia. And I remember putting that song on, and I could just feel like God loved it so much. And it would just be so amazing to just be in the presence of God, worshiping Him. In that moment, there was no desire for ministry. My desire was just to be with God. And everything began to shift and change, and God took me in the direction He wanted me to go. And that's how we ended up here, by the grace of God. This is a long time ago, but you know, it's part of my testimony. But I remember what it was like to be in that dry season, that dry place. The truth is, you can be sitting here this morning, going through the motions of church, but be completely dry. Completely dry. You can be coming here, and when we start to worship, it's like you may even try to kind of like half-heartedly do it. But there's just nothing changing. Nothing happens. How many of you have ever been to a car salesman and the car salesman's dry? It's not nice, you know. You know when you go and you want someone to tell you about their car, and you go to them and they're like, they tell you, it's a nice car. You know, you should buy it. You know, there's no passion, there's no life, there's nothing coming out of them except just like dryness, you know. And how many of you know what it's like when your marriage gets a little dry? And that passion that was once there somehow is just not there anymore. It's kind of like, for lack of a better word, just is dry. You know, or maybe it's with your kids. You used to have this awesome relationship with your kids, but now there's just such a disconnect. There's a dryness there. And you don't really understand how it got there. But how many of you know what it's like to be in that dry place? Or I'd say the worst of all, but I really believe all of them string out of that, is to be dry with God. Where you're doing church every week, every service, every thing, but like, it's just this dryness that I don't believe should be there. Can you say amen? All right, so that was just my introduction. Let's get into the Word. What I want to share with you this morning is the Feast of Tabernacles is a time where the children of Israel would celebrate what God provided for them really in the wilderness. They would set up these booths, and then they would go and they would sit in these booths and celebrate the provision of God. Every year they would do this, and there are many different things that take place over this period of Tabernacles. It's a very powerful season. The end of the year, there was atonement. There was all kinds of things that took place. But there was one ceremony that I want to share with you this morning. And it was called the water libation ceremony. The water libation ceremony. And basically what this water libation ceremony was every day what they would do was the priest would go down to the Pool of Siloam. And obviously this was now when the temple was in Jerusalem. He would go down to the Pool of Siloam, walk up, and there would be a huge celebration because everyone was rejoicing what God had done and what God is going to do. And they would take this water and they would go up the hill all the way up to the top where the temple was, and they would take that water and they would pour it on the altar into a bowl. And they would do this every single day during the 7 days of the feast. On the seventh day, they would take that pitcher and they would do that ceremony seven times. So it was like a completion at the end of it. How many of you know, like for example, with the walls of Jericho, it was kind of like that. They had to march around the walls one time every day, and then on the seventh day, they would walk around it seven times. That's exactly what the Lord would do. It would be like almost a signal or a symbol of completion, and it was a very powerful celebration. Now, what they were celebrating is actually quite powerful. In Isaiah 12, 2-3, this is the one thing that they celebrated. Let me read it to you. It says, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah, the God is, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Now, it's very interesting because we were talking about being dry. We're talking about a festival of the ceremony of libation where they would take the water up and they would pour the water. And he says here that there is a well of salvation. So we know the children of Israel were celebrating the salvation that they had and that was also to come through the coming Messiah. That's the one part. But it's very interesting because there's a lot of symbolism here that the prophet prophesies, which I don't think at the time they really understood, but it speaks of wells of salvation. In other words, those wells are something that is deep inside of us. And so he's prophesying and he's saying there will be wells of salvation. There will be wells that bring salvation. Now we know that the water represents something extremely powerful. But I want you to pay attention to the fact that it's something that comes from the deep. Is that okay? Isaiah 44:3, the other thing that they celebrated, let's read it. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water on him who thirsts. We're talking about dry places and dry lands. And floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. Can you say amen? So we see that, they would celebrate the coming Messiah. They would celebrate the fact that there was salvation from the Lord and that also there would be an outpouring of the Spirit that would also come. Can you see that? They would celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit that would come on the descendants and also the blessing of God. Now, I need you to understand, during the feast, it would be a great celebration. And they would have great joyous celebration with festivals of music and celebrating and everything. And what would happen is they would all come together and they would do this and they would all walk behind the priest as he went up the hill and he poured out the pitcher onto the altar and it would pour out and they would celebrate salvation and they would celebrate the outpouring of the Spirit that was to come. In other words, they were going through the motions, remembering what God had done for them, remembering that God had taken them to this place. And it speaks about an outpouring that would actually take care of the dryness. But how many of you have been in a place where you come to church, you go through the motions, but at the end of the day, you still feel dry? Or you go home, you've shouted, you've screamed, you've jumped up on the chair, but you walk out the building and you still feel dry. I don't know about you, but I have been there. Many, many years ago. About 18 months ago, maybe a few months ago, I know what it's like to go through seasons of dryness. And there are certain things that the Lord wants to show us, even through His feast. Now watch this, because it's really, really powerful. Are you guys all okay? Okay, so let me just remind you. I want you to remember that the ceremony of the water was this. Signifying wells of salvation and outpouring of His Spirit onto the descendants. Is that okay? Now, I want you to get this before I read this. Okay. What you need to know is that Jesus is our provision. Right? Now, when the children of Israel would celebrate the provision in the wilderness, there were two forms of provision that came to them. One was manna. Manna. Okay, which they ate. The second was water that came from a rock. I need you to understand that that water that came from a rock, that rock was Jesus. And the Bible says that that rock followed the children of Israel. In other words, Jesus was with them the whole time. If you don't believe me, let me give you the scripture so that you can see it for yourself. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 4. 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 4. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So that rock followed them in the wilderness, that rock was Christ. Let's go to Psalm 105, verse 40, just so I can show you. Psalm 105, verse number 40. The people asked, and He brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock and water gushed out. It rained in the dry places like a river, for He remembered His holy promise and Abraham, his servant. So you can see that there was water that was provided for. That water was because of the promises that God made to the children of Israel through Abraham, which, by the way, you are a descendant of. You are a descendant of Abraham. Can you say amen? All right. So you have the revelation that Christ was the rock and that he provides us with water. Now, the children of Israel are at the Feast of Tabernacle and they're celebrating the feast. And Jesus does something incredible. And this is the feast that he celebrates not too long from when he goes to the cross. Let's go take a look at this. Let's go to John 7, verse 37. We'll start there. John 7, verse 37. I want you to know it's the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what they're celebrating. On the last day, that great day of the feast, they call it the great day because it's the day where they do things seven times. It's the last day. It's the final day. It's the end of it. Everybody's having a great time. And Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now hang on a sec. Think about this for just a moment. They're busy celebrating. And Jesus steps forward, and listen, it doesn't say that he goes, "Does anyone thirst?" Or he doesn't go, "Does anyone thirst?" He shouts, he cries out. That word, it really expresses an absolute shout. "Does anyone thirst?" Because they're going through the motions, but you see, something hasn't happened yet. Because there's still a dryness, there's still a thirsting inside the people. And he makes the statement, he says, "If anyone thirsts, let them come to me. Let them come to me, and I will give them living water. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." You see, you can come to church, you can go through the motions, but the Bible says this, listen to this. The Bible says a spirit, an evil spirit, will leave someone and will go through dry places. Not in, through. So spirits like to go through people that are dry or affect people that are dry. When the enemy comes in like a flood, when he comes in like a flood, he's coming through someone who's floodable, empty, dry. But if he comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Can you say amen? But one thing is required. One thing is required. If anyone thirsts, if you're dry, if you're stuck, if you're in that place where nothing's happening, there's one thing required. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come to me, says the Lord. Come to me. Now, let's go to the next verse. "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." So Jesus begins to speak to them about what was going to take place in them once the Holy Spirit had been poured out. There is no excuse for us that have already received the Holy Spirit to truly be dry. But we do get there because we're human. But the same thing that Jesus did in the Feast of Tabernacles, he is doing right now. He's crying out, "If anyone thirsts, if you're dry, if you're still stuck, if you come into church every week, but you're still stuck in that place, if you're thirsty, come to me." Because you see, there's something that's taken place on the inside of you that has already equipped you and empowered you to get everything you need. But there is one thing required. Do you want to know what it is? Does somebody want to know what it is? Okay, all right, okay. Thank you. Let's quickly go there. Let's go in our Bibles to a familiar story. John 4, verse number 1. Let's go to verse number 5. I want to just skip a few lines. So Jesus is about to go to the woman at the well. Watch this now. Verse number 5. "So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near a plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour, and a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, this is powerful, give me a drink. I want you to see something really powerful here, because there's no mistake in anything that Jesus does. Do you realize, you've already got the revelation, that he was the rock? So the well says to the lady at the well, give me a drink. Now remember, he says to her a few minutes later, if you knew who it was who sits here, you'd ask him for a drink. Why? Because he is a well. He is living water. He's the one who takes the dryness away. But what you need to understand is even the Lord has a thirst. And when you meet that thirst, when you give him what he desires, there will be a natural response from heaven that will cause an outpouring of his spirit in your own life. Now I know you want to know what it is. We'll keep reading, and we're going to get there in just a moment. Are you guys okay in Vero Beach this morning? Amen. Give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away. Verse number 8. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. You see it, guys? The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks from this water will thirst again. Now watch. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him, watch this now, in him, a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. I need you to understand that you have in you a fountain of living water. But there are seasons in your walk with God where that fountain will feel dry, where you let the bucket down and it hits the ground, boom. But it's there. It's in you because Jesus gave you his Holy Spirit. That's why when he says, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me, because he spoke about the spirit that Jesus would give you that would be on the inside of you. But one thing is required. In order to get that spring to come up again, and I've seen it before. Oh, I've seen it before. Where suddenly when someone responds to the Lord, suddenly that's already on the inside of them, the Spirit of God that's already on the inside of them begins to spring life again. And suddenly that was dry no longer is dry. Now watch. Verse 15. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom you have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. It's amazing how Jesus gets the conversation to go exactly the way he wants it. And then she says something very powerful. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said to a woman, now watch, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now that's a sermon in itself. Now watch. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Why? Because the Father is seeking. He is seeking. The Father is seeking such to worship him. Jesus arrives at the well and he says, I thirst. I'm thirsty. Give me a drink. And the woman says to him, who are you? And he says, if you only knew who it was, you would say to him, give me a drink. Jesus on the cross cries out, I'm thirsty. What is he thirsty for you and I? What is he thirsty for? Worship. He's thirsty for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. If you want to know what will unlock the dry places in your life, there is one thing that is required. God is looking. He is seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. When you say, listen, God, I'm not in a good place. I've made some mistakes. I've done some things wrong. But right now in this moment, I choose to worship you. That's already on the inside of you begins to spring up. Listen, I've been in recording studios where I've seen it happen. I've been in on stages where I've seen it happen. I was with my own dad when I saw it happen. Because you see, we have all been created to worship. The question is, what will you worship? We get so busy with the things of life and the distractions of life and the worries and the heaviness of life. And God is saying, listen, through all of that, let me ask you a question. Does anyone thirst? And in that moment, if you say, yes, Lord, I worship you. I give my heart to you. I surrender to you. I love you. And you begin to worship him. The springs of living water will once again spring up on the inside of you. Isn't that amazing? There are many of us that go through these dry places. But God, let me read one more scripture and then I'm going to close. Ezekiel 37 verse 24. Listen to what he says. This is a prophecy. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your filthiness and from all your idols. And I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and you will do them. And listen, church, it starts, it happens. Even whether you might have been serving God all your life, but you are dry right now. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. We go through the motions. And Jesus is still crying out, does anybody thirst? And when we get an opportunity to worship him, everything gets laid down. You are what you worship. If you want to become more Christ-like, worship him. If you want the kingdom of God to advance in your life, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. This morning, I want to tell you that it doesn't matter how dry it is. It doesn't matter how bad it is in your business, your family, your marriage, whatever it is. That spring of life will spring up inside you if you're willing to worship. Why? Because God is seeking those who will worship him. And when we worship him and we surrender to him, that he's already placed on the inside of us comes alive. Can you say amen? Amen. Can I ask you this morning? Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Everybody here this morning comes from a different place. We go to church week after week. We go through the motions. But why is it that we stay dry? Why is it that nothing changes? The Bible says that God is seeking those who will worship him. He's seeking. That means that he longs, he desires those who will worship him. Spirit and truth means from their inside, from their deepest parts. And they'll come as they are. Not trying to hide anything, not trying to achieve perfection, but just saying, Lord, here I am with my whole mess that I am. But I choose to worship you. I choose to surrender to you this morning. Holy Spirit, you are here. Your presence is here right now. Thank you that John even said it. When Jesus spoke those words, he spoke about you, Holy Spirit. That you would be the one that would come, be our helper, be our best friend, be our comforter, be our teacher. But that you would not only dwell with us, but be in us. And that's why when we begin to worship, that's already on the inside of us springs up and gives life to our mortal bodies. Right now, Father, I pray for every marriage that has become dry. I pray for every relationship with children that has become dry. I pray for every family that needs a financial breakthrough that has become dry. I pray, Father, for every business that has gone dry. I pray for relationships with family members and friends that have gone dry. Every circumstance that's gone dry, maybe it's an addiction that's caused them to come dry. Maybe it's condemnation that's caused them to become dry. But right now, Father, regardless of all of that, we choose to surrender. And we want to meet that need. The thirst that you have. Your desire, seeking after those who will worship you. We choose to worship you right now in this place. Can I ask you this morning, church, right there where you are, can we stand just for a moment? I'm not going to drag this out. We'll be done in less than 5 minutes. Don't leave here the same this morning. You have a choice right now. We're going to sing that worship song again, and you have an opportunity to worship. You have an opportunity to change a dry place into a place that springs up with living water once again. Can we do that together? Let's sing that song.
Mountains are still being moved.
Come on, let me hear you sing, church.
Strongholds are still being loose. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still watching do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. Wonders are still watching do. We are here for you. Come and do.
So, Father, right now in this place, as we are gathered like this and we surrender our hearts to you, Father, we desire that our hearts would be a place where the Holy Spirit would rest upon, that would take over. Father, let the dry places in our lives, let a spring come up from inside of them, Father. That you've given us already, your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are already with us, dwelling on the inside of us. We surrender to you right now. Every dry place, every business, every family, every household, every situation, in the name of Jesus, let a spring come up right now in Jesus' name. Now let's give the Lord a big shout and a clap. Come on. Let me hear you shout like something's happened. Come on. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise and all the glory and honor. Thank you, Lord, that we can worship you this way. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit be with everyone as they leave. Once again, Father, we love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.